Hi there, I'm Tom Schultz, host of Voices of Montana, an issue-oriented newsmaker radio program. It's heard weekdays on 19 radio stations with 28 signals all across our great treasure state. Thank you for clicking on the podcast. Please subscribe, and we'll do our best to keep you connected. We're also on Facebook and on the web at voicesofmontana.com, where I'd love to hear from you. Please contact me at tom@voicesofmontana.com. All right, I'm quoting Cody Ross here. Here we go. And it is Monday here, and this is kind of, it's a tough one. The Northern Cheyenne Nation has been in the midst of pretty significant tribal and political upheavals there. At the heart is a conflict. President Gene Small, he was elected president in 2024, right? Four-year term. He has been pushing for a forensic audit of more than $90 million in ARPA and CARES fund. That's part of roughly $185 million in federal money that was sent to the tribe through the COVID relief programs. Where's that money sent? One of the things that he has asked his council members there is, I do not see $90 million worth of improvements for our people, roughly 5,000 members in that tribe. He has not seen that. He's asking questions. I think that's fair. There's been a lot of bounce back on that. We talk about that today on Voices of Montana. Tough weekend, I think, for many. Again, with even 9/11, but with the Charlie Kirk assassination, a lot of people processing through all of that. So I think we're on edge in some ways. There's a lot of reasons I think we can say that in this country. But again, do not be afraid, and let's. Let's walk things out. One of the things that Charlie would want us to do is to talk about stuff and openly talk about it. And let's be honest about facts, and let's not lie to ourselves that our opinions are facts. I hope you had a good weekend. And I know a lot of people, and I've got a message here. Jan from Great Falls, thank you for sending this. She wanted to vent here, and we'll get some time to do that. We were going to do that on Friday, at least talk more about it and hear from Charlie Kirk. But this is a breaking story that we should get into, and we are here today. President Gene Small of the Northern Cheyenne Tribe is going to join us here a bit later on. Briefly recap, and maybe I shouldn't even do that. We have Emma Jane on the line here. And Emma Jane is a freelance reporter. She interned with the Gazette, and she had done a lot of tribal reports throughout that internship. And has been really kind of camped there in Ashland and at council quarters covering the story. So we first welcome Emma Jane, and then President Gene Small is going to join us here a little bit later on. Emma Jane, good morning. How are you doing?
Hi, I'm good. Thank you so much for having me on.
Yeah, thanks for coming on as well. We chatted Friday, and we were talking about events that happened last week, and now those events are continuing here today. We should probably start from the very beginning here to educate our audience on what's going on at the Northern Cheyenne. And I'm going to leave that to you where you think the beginning is, so to speak. But get us up to date. And then you're on site there as well. And there are some developments going on even today. But thanks, Emma Jane, for coming on. What is going on?
So much. Yeah. Well, I think it all started with, the president, Gene Small, kind of ran on this campaign promise of transparency and has been pushing for this forensic audit of over $90 million in federal funding in the past 5 years that he just doesn't see reflected in improvements to the community and things for the people. The community, for the most part, has been very supportive of President Small, but more than that, very supportive of getting this audit done and the transparency. And so some women, a lot of them are elders, grandmothers, they set up a camp outside the tribal building in the middle of August. And they've been there just kind of holding a presence, letting, the tribal council know that they're there and they're pushing for this. And it really kind of started heating up again last week. The council voted to remove the president. And then the chief scout called in for the first time since the tribe adopted the IRA government in 1934. The chief scout called in and they met and they determined that eight of the council, everyone except for Teresa Small and Tori Davey, should be removed. And Gene should stay president. The day after that, a few of the removed council came by the tribal building here in Lame Deer, removed boxes of papers, records, and took them. And I'm right now standing outside the BIA building here in Lame Deer, and they're in there having a council meeting right now. So it's been a busy few days.
Yeah. The question is, the Bureau of Indian Affairs, the BIA, obviously a federal agency that is to monitor and actually adjudicate some of these. They want to let tribes figure these things out because tribes are sovereign nations. But the BIA is there on site. And in my mind, and there's more to catch up on here too, but whose authority is being recognized? Maybe that's the question. The BIA initially seemed to have recognized President Small's authority over this. And then there was a recent document they released that said, well, we also recognize the authority of the council members that the traditional Council of Chiefs had kicked off the council. That, to me, seems to complicate things quite a bit.
It does. They, at first, it seemed like the BIA superintendent was going to back the chiefs and their decision as, you know, kind of more authority than what the council is saying. And then the next day, yeah, they did issue that letter that said they still recognize Gene as president, but they also still recognize the 8 council members that the chiefs decided to remove.
Did that letter state what their justification was for recognizing both of these parties, or their justification for not recognizing the action of the Council of Chiefs?
From what I believe that their letter said that in the tribe's current constitution, there's nothing that says that traditional law supersedes tribal law, mm-hmm. or the BIA law. There's a little bit of confusion, like it's a little bit legally murky because talking with people, you know, on the ground here, from what I understand, when the tribe signed that 1934 constitution, it was a 50-year agreement to try it out. And that 50 years is gone, you know, has already passed. Mm-hmm. So I think there's a little confusion over, you know, what the next steps are there.
Yeah, and I get that. Emma Jane is with us again, a freelance reporter. She's been covering the activity at Northern Cheyenne, where the nation is in the midst of a tribal troubles here, political upheaval at the council. Gene Small will be joining us here in just a little bit, searching for some transparency regarding some federal money, and not just a small amount either. What are the people saying? It seems like, and you've noted this, they've got some community support. There is a group, the Northern Cheyenne Ladies with a Purpose, that have rallied behind Small. And this is kind of subjective, but I'm asking you to read the room. What's going on there with the grassroots people on the tribe?
They've really been fighting the fight, you know, since day one, and not just with Gene's administration, but for the past decade, been trying to speak up against, you know, corruption that they see going on within their tribe, and they've been camped for a month. And they really have rallied community support. Earlier, oh man, what day was it? But anyway, there was a walk that they did from the BIA to the tribal building, and then there were probably over 100 people in that parking lot all day supporting Gene and supporting the audit and supporting the grassroots people. And yeah, I think people are just really, really ready for change. You know, this alleged corruption thing is nothing new, and it's kind of an open secret. And I think that people just are really ready to see something different, and they're really ready for this transparency that President Small promised.
There have been, 11 members on the council. One of them is the president, Gene Small, elected president. And then 8 council members have been attempted to be removed by the Council of Chiefs. Have they made any statements, Emma? Have they talked about, you know, where that money went, or we want a process? This Because there's some questions about, you know, even President Gene Small on, you know, the process, because he hired an auditor without the council approval. That's what's alleged. What are the opposition members saying publicly about this?
I think he did have their approval to hire the auditor.
Okay.
I'm not 100, but I think he might have. But they have issued a few statements on their Facebook page. They're basically just saying that they support more of the constitutional process, whereas a lot of people here in the community want traditional law reinstated. And the council is kind of backing the Constitution and kind of keeping the system as it is. I haven't interviewed any of them since I did the story last month. Not a lot of solid answers about where the money has gone. I did interview, when I talked to Melissa Lone Bear, she said that she came in after a lot of it was spent and maybe doesn't agree with how it was spent, but just wants to move forward is kind of what she was saying last month. But yeah, that's kind of about it from the council side, from what I know.
Yeah. And developing as well. Gene, President Small will be joining us here in just a little bit. What's it like? What's on the ground now? I think you are looking at the Capitol building, because there's a meeting going on side with BIA officials. Is the entire council there?
So it's at the BIA building.
BIA building, okay.
Council members Tori Davey and Teresa Small have been supportive of the audit and, you know, supportive of President Small and the grassroots people. So I don't know if they're in there. I just found out about this about like a half hour ago, so I'm not too sure. Mm-hmm. But I know that all eight of the council that the chiefs want to remove are in there, and their private security is outside.
And what's the demeanor of the area right now?
Well, right now it's still a little quiet, especially over here at the BIA building. It's kind of down the street from the tribal building where the camp is. But yeah, there were people at the camp this morning, and I think everyone was kind of anxiously awaiting. You know, as I said, people are really ready to see this change happen and just kind of, you know, waiting to see what's going to happen.
So some of those council members then were allowed back into the building, apparently under BIA supervision. Although I'm not sure that they would clarify it that way, and remove some documents. What was the nature of that removal? And I thought, I know that, President Small had tried to establish that Capitol building as a potential crime scene. But I'm not sure that obviously that was accomplished.
That happened after that morning that they came in.
Gotcha.
After that happened, I think is when he was like, you know, we need to seal this and not disturb anything, you know, any more than what already had happened, and just kind of preserve the scene. That was a crazy morning. It was very intense. I wouldn't say the BIA supervised them inside. I think they just went in and, But what happened was they loaded up papers and boxes and stuff into their cars. And then there were community members and society guys at the tribal building, and they tried to prevent them from taking all that stuff and leaving. And the BIA kind of facilitated the council being able to leave with the whatever they had removed from inside the building.
A lot of events have happened over the past week. Northern Cheyenne, President Gene Small has, council ousted him, and then the Council of Chiefs ousted the council that ousted him. And now Gene back in charge of tribal government. But this is the heart of the conflict here, as President Gene Small searching and asking for a forensic audit of more than $90 million in ARPA and CARE funds. And joins us now as we talk about this situation developing at the Northern Cheyenne with Tom Schultz back here alongside. President Gene Small, good morning, sir. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, everyone.
Thank you for
happy
being
to be here and happy to talk. Yes.
Yeah, Emma Jane is also with us. As you know, you were saying she's kind of been around a little bit. She's getting recognized, huh?
Yes, for sure. She's been here since this thing all transpired. Actually, she's been here most better part of the summer. I think from July on was when I started noticing her around.
Yeah.
Didn't know her at the time, but she was there.
So she's with us as well. Emma, again, thank you for being here. President Small, I'll just have you. We kind of went through and got some background on this. So we're gonna pick it up from who has authority. Whose authority is recognized? Because I'm a little bit confused. After the council allegedly illegally took that action to oust you, the BIA said that was not a legal action. We don't recognize it. Then the chiefs came and correct me in any way that I'm wrong here, using traditional tribal law, ousted some of those council members, and the BIA has recognized their authority as well. So as you look, there may be more of an investigation tied to this now. Whose authority is recognized by the agency likely to investigate?
You mean as investigate as far as the authority or as far as the wrongdoings?
As far as the wrongdoings.
Okay, so at this point, I would have to say, since this thing started, the BIA's stance on this is to step out of this and let it be it's an internal issue.
Mm-hmm.
And they make that stance, I guess. They're not going to side with anybody. But they basically just put out there who they recognize as being in charge, right? As far as the investigation would go, it'd have to be the OIG and FBI at this point with what's happening here with these funds.
Yeah, have you asked them yet officially? Or
since this thing's transpired, they have reached out to me. Yes.
And and as much as you can tell me, do they have a timeline for interjecting here?
No, not that I know of. Nobody's really said nothing. I haven't talked to them for a bit. It's been about a week or so. But, yeah, I haven't contacted anybody. Just kind of figured this out as we go, myself.
Yeah. Let me just start with this. What are you trying to accomplish, President Small?
I guess for me, it's my people. I was elected by the people, so I got to stand for the people. So that's my mission here for moving forward. We've got a lot of... just like anywhere else, we've got a lot of drug addiction, alcohol,
mm-hmm.
abuse, mental illness. We have all the same issues in the real world here, and we see it every day here, and people are just tired of being beat down, tired of being, So my message is I'm going to look out for my people. I'm going to stand with my people. And, we are Northern Cheyenne. That's what we are. And we as the people are going to stand together with this. We got, I guess moving forward with the ousting or the removal came from, started with the evidentiary hearing back in July. We had a disgruntled employee, what I call it. She had an appeal process. She didn't go through there. She went around the back door to the council. So the council has brought it forward. And mind you, evidentiary doesn't exist in our law, our codes, our resolutions, any of our constitutions and bylaws.
Mm.
We don't have any type of language like that for an evidentiary hearing. So they took it upon themselves to have this evidentiary hearing. And what I seen, if I kept asking, what is this? What is this? And what I got out of it was basically it was an avenue for removal is what I'm going to say. Because fast forward and forward here, they finally got now we don't hear nothing about the evidentiary hearing now. It's just flat removal now. So I guess the frosting's off the cake now. I guess we're going we're moving forward now. But moving up to the removal, they had a hearing last week. First of all, they had a council meeting. So how this works is they got to have a council meeting, and by resolution, they got to, set that evidentiary hearing.
Mm-hmm.
And they'll have a resolution there, kind of the breakdown of who the hearing officer is, what's the date, I got 15 minutes to have an opening statement, it's set up in that kind of form. And they've got to have a resolution to pass that. Well, when they had that meeting and passed that resolution, the executive branch wasn't part of it. And according to our meetings and our constitution, we're the ones that chair the meetings, either myself as president or Ernest Littlemouth as vice president.
What? Thank you for that. Go ahead. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, so they went on ahead with that meeting, and they elected a legislator within their own. Mind you, their legislators were, you know, were the executive, the legislation side. We got three, I guess, they got three branches of government here, the judicial, executive, and legislative. Mm-hmm. So, and according to the Constitution, you're not supposed to dabble on either side. You're not supposed to intertwine, you know, the separation of powers. You're not supposed to be involved in either one of them. So that was the grounds for the BIA to throw that meeting out, as they didn't recognize it because of the fact that that is an executive function.
Gotcha.
That's the president, vice president's role, you know. And so anyway, they did elect one within their own to be a pro tem president, they called it. And he chaired the meeting. He signed the resolution, but the bureau denied it because of our constitution, the way it reads.
And you know what's curious here too, and we'll get to this on the other side of a break. I got like 2.5 minutes in this segment. I want to talk about the actual Council of Chiefs. That to me is fascinating. But your presence there, Gene, I've heard we spoke on Thursday as well. I know that I think you're attempting to let this play out as peacefully as possible in that regard. I mean, talk about how you see this and how your direction toward resolving this is meant to be without, you know, conflict blowing over.
Right. That's been the mission from day one. You know, we've had some elderly women out front, elderly folk that set up. They've been out there for about 30 days now. They set up camp out there and they stayed there, and they wanted they were supporting this audit. They were supporting the transparency, and they're still there today. I have to give a shout out to them because they're the ones that kind of kept this thing rolling, kind of saying, hey, we need this audit, and I supported them in that sense. And as far as we're not here for violence. These are older elderly ladies, mind you, and there's some kids that hang around there. We're not by no means looking for any violence. We're looking for resolve here. And it seems like the more we try to look for resolve, the further it kind of got away. So now that's why we're at where we're at.
I get that. And it's the Northern Cheyenne Ladies with a Purpose. And I appreciate your sentiment in that, Gene, because they are elderly, and they're like the tribal mothers looking over the tribe going, come on, children, we are going to make sure that we get through this. How does that resonate with everybody there?
It resonates with the majority of the people. We had the chiefs convened yesterday and had another meeting, and there was probably 400 or 500 people out here.
Wow, yes.
And this is a good thing too, because what it's doing is bringing the chief society back, chief council back. Then you got the regular military society starting together now too, and so we got two big teepees out front here, and one's the chief council's teepee, one's the military society teepee, and they're coming back together now. So this is where this traditional law is coming, and this is what we're exercising here as people.
Situation underscores a lot of questions about governance for the tribe, Northern Cheyenne tribe, sovereignty, accountability, tradition as well. President Gene Small is with us, and also freelance reporter Emma Jane, as we are talking about President Small's attempt there, financial transparency, seeking a forensic audit of some $90 to $91 million in federal money, COVID and ARPA money. There's been a conflict with the tribal council over that. And in the past decade, three tribal presidents have been removed by that council. So that's not unusual there. Also, there have been a precedent set here by the traditional, the Council of 44, as a matter of fact. The Council of Chiefs has been historically an advisory body, but up until now, They are interjected into this situation as well. Welcome back. You're from Montana, for Montana's Voices of Montana. Emma Jane, as I mentioned, and President Gene Small. Emma, I'm sorry. I chatted with Gene in that last segment to get some things out there. I want to throw it your way, as you may have continuing questions or observations to share with us here.
Oh yeah, President Small, I'd be interested in like getting your thoughts on the other developments that went on with the council last week, as far as they passed an ordinance banning public attendance at council meetings, and then at the removal hearing, they did have it on the live streaming on YouTube, but the mics were turned off. And I know, like, you've previously said that, you know, you're for the people, so you're not going to entertain, you know, closed-door private meetings. Yeah, do you want to kind of talk more about?
Right. Yeah. So they had a public statement, I guess is what I would call it. They put out, and in that public statement, they said that they were going to close the tribal council meetings to the public. They weren't going to let any public in. And the last time they did that was during COVID, and the reason being there, of course, is because of the pandemic. Right? They didn't want people together, so. That was understandable, but now here we are today, and the way I see it, it's just a ploy to keep the people out of the building and continue to do what they want to do. Mind you, the people voted these people in. That's where I stand. You know, they were put in by their district. Me, I was put in overall by the people. So I'm going to stand with the people, and that's what the comment I made was, if they're closing the tribal council meetings down to the public, well, I'm going to stand with the people, and I'm not going to chair them. So that's how that transpired. What was your other question, Emma?
So with this council meeting that's happening right now at the BIA, are Tori Davey and Teresa Small included in that? So I remember on Friday, they weren't able to access the building, even though they're sitting council members.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So then they moved forward with this removal hearing on me. They went on ahead and decided to have this removal hearing. Well, you got to, according to our constitution and bylaws, you got to have 8 to establish a quorum for a council meeting. Well, they went on ahead and had this meeting. Well, we got 2 council members, Tori Davey and Teresa Small, who have been supportive of the people and, the guardians out front have been supportive of that. And so they were never invited to that meeting. Actually, they weren't even allowed into it because they had control of this building. They weren't letting nobody in. So they went on ahead and had that meeting. Now, that meeting is even more illegal than the last one, and I'll tell you why. They had 7 members. They had 8 members, right? You need 8 to establish a quorum. Well, when they elected one of their own as pro tem, that took that 8 down to 7. Mm-hmm. So your chair is actually out of the voting. So that makes it 7. And they went on ahead and had their meeting, and they all voted. So they're saying 8 voted, and even that's including the chair. See, the chair doesn't vote. So that's the meeting that transpired out of that, and but moving forward, the BIA still recognizes me as president. They on that removal hearing, they didn't even let me in. Didn't even tell me. They even added some more stuff to it without even serving me. I got due process and due rights too here, you know. But they locked pretty much the ones that were standing with the people, which is me, Tori, and Teresa.
And also,
and Ernest, let's not leave Ernest out of this. He's for the people too. Ernest Littlemouth, vice president.
What is the opposition saying and doing? Now, I understand that they also hired a private security force that was allegedly illegal as well. What have your conversations with them led to?
Well, to be honest with you, we haven't had any since this thing started.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't had any conversation, even up to the hearing. And they was never contacting me or reaching out to me.
Have you reached out to them? I mean, is there a plan in place for the council and the council president to sit down again?
Well, I reached out numerous times. I hired a legal advocate by the name of Danny Eagle Feathers. I, I retained him to help me here locally. Since we have, well, he's still with me, but we've since gotten some more attorneys involved here. Tried numerous times. I think that's why we're at where we're at. You know what I mean? I tried numerous times to reach out to them. I even wrote them letters, tried to get together with them. And even the chiefs tried to enter the building and visit with them, and they wouldn't even talk to them.
And there's a couple of real...
They also...
Go ahead, Emma. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, Jade Slutkiss, who's a U.S. rep, who's also Northern Cheyenne, and she's been down here, and she just mentioned that she also has, you know, tried to meet with the council and talk to them, and kind of has received the same response that Jean just described.
Jean, I want to talk about some of these broader concepts that you've touched upon, about transparency in tribal governance, and how you feel that's important for all tribal nations, but also how this, as you're kind of noting, this is an opportunity to bring members kind of back together again as well, to unite behind these values.
Right. So I guess it was kind of explained to me a little bit yesterday that this is starting to develop into a movement. And, I have it in no means, never thought it would go there. That wasn't my intention. My intention was to be transparent with the people and try to bring the people back together and just try to work together as a people. You know, we've been in resistance our whole lives as Northern Cheyennes. We've been fighting for our whole lives, you know, from day one. And I think, moving forward, I would like to see us come back together as one and work as one. You know, with that being said, we're going to have a buffalo feed tomorrow evening around 5 o'clock. We're going to get together. We got a buffalo that we harvested from our own herd, and we're going to put him in the ground. We're going to cook him in the ground, and we're going to feed the people tomorrow around 5 o'clock. And everyone's invited to that, including you people, if you want to come down.
Nice. Was that?
Well, Emma will be here. Emma will be here. Emma's been here for a bit, so
I know she's going to earn her Northern Cheyenne name. Was this scheduled, Gene? This buffalo feast, was that scheduled, or is that being added here to bring your people together?
No, sir. That was added. I mean, not added. It was scheduled.
Okay.
Yeah, because we harvested yesterday and we got it hanging. But yes, we've been planning this deal, and I've been putting it out. I got a Facebook page, and we've been planning this. So
let me clear up. I'm gonna let you go here in a couple of minutes. The FBI and the OIG has initiated conversations, but not officially an investigation.
I mean, it's been they've been talked to me a couple of times, but I'm moving forward. I don't know where they stand with their investigation.
Yeah, they haven't requested anything. They haven't requested documents or it was your idea to try to lock the building down because of it being a potential crime scene. Is that correct?
Right, exactly. That's the reason why we're locking this down. There's just things happening here that, I've reached out to OGS numerous times. They just want to, they're calling it an internal matter, but still confused over that with what's happening here. I mean, documents are being taken or tried to be taken. A big one was trying to be taken the other day, which was that travel log.
Yeah, yes.
Let me back up a minute. Some texts were taken, too.
Is there additional security there, Gene?
Yes, we've got the Wolf Soldier Security hired, LLC, and we've got a lot of society warriors here helping. So we've upped the game here. We're holding this down here until we can get some answers from somebody here. Because right now, this is the people's building. It's the people's money, and we're going to stand by it.
And the council, did they did they hire their own private security firm? And is that an issue?
Yeah, illegally. Yeah, they hired their own firm, or their own team. Lots with felons. A few good people in there. I guess everybody's good. I guess I should say that.
But yeah.
It's just that illegal hire. Let's put it that way.
Yeah. Are they? Where are they at? Where's that? Allegedly illegal security team at right now?
Well, right now they're having another illegal meeting down at the Bureau of Indian Affairs. They allowed them into their conference room to have another meeting.
Okay, so they're there. So they're still employed and deployed there.
Well, by them, yeah, I don't know how they're going to get paid moving forward because I got control of this building. Now, mind you, I got two executive orders I put out.
And they are what?
Executive orders, a declaration of authority and continuity for our tribe.
And what did they accomplish? What were the orders?
Okay, well, you got time.
Yeah.
There's two of them. They're fairly long.
Well, what were they intended to accomplish?
Okay, on this first executive order was a suspension of tribal council authority, effective immediately.
Okay.
With what's happening here. And then the second is giving me full authority of the office. And then three, being able to deploy protection of my people. And then four is to keep the programs running, keep the services flowing for my people, you know, keep these departments open, you know, LEHAP, commodities, Head Start, outer entities like that the people rely on.
Very good, very good. Here's the last question, Gene, and take some time if you need. How do you see this ending? What do you see this next week? And then how do you see this ending?
Well, it's a good question.
Yeah.
I really can't answer that right now at this moment, but I do know moving forward, we want it to end peacefully. That's our goal. You know, that's what we want. We want to see. We want, you know, we haven't heard nothing from the opposition other than that today they're having another illegal council meeting at the BIA, and the BIA is entertaining it and allowing them to have it there.
Well, anything could incriminate them as well.
BIA could be incriminating this bill. They keep saying this is an internal matter, but here they are hosting a council meeting. So I'm not sure myself where we're heading.
Emma Jane, do you have anything you wanted to ask finally here? I know you're out there on the scene. You can meet with Gene later, but anything you wanted to add here?
Well, there's also a petition going around town calling for, you know, just backing those executive orders as far as giving authority to the chiefs and the reinstating traditional law. So I think it's the chiefs, the societies, and the people are really united on this.
Gotcha. Hey, President Small, thank you so much. I know it's a very much a delicate situation there as well. And the way you're handling it, you know, with calm and that whole demeanor, I think that's very, very important here. And the idea behind it, I just want transparency. I didn't see $90 million spent on my people. I'm asking that question. I appreciate that, right. President. Thank you. Right.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the opportunity. Thanks.
Yep. And we'll be chatting, obviously, in the future, okay? And we're praying for a good resolution here, sir. Thanks for what you do.
Thank you. Yep, thank you.
All right. Emma, stand by, okay, Emma? Because I want to finish up with you. We'll have a few minutes on the other side. That was President Gene Small, again, the Northern Cheyenne, the middle of one of the most really significant tribal government upheavals in, well, certainly modern history. Emma Jane is with us again, a freelance reporter. Did some reporting for the Gazette on this and for us as well as we're back to the Northern Cheyenne. Emma, that did go real fast. It was really good to hear from President Small on this one. I got about a minute now. You know, what's your takeaway from all that?
I mean, I just want to emphasize how historic it is, what is happening here in Northern Cheyenne country. You know, this issue with the people kind of being frustrated with tribal council and alleged, you know, mismanagement of money, it's not just here. It's on many reservations. And so the way that they're pushing back on it and demanding accountability and trying to really change the system, you know, it's not so much about even going after these individual council people as much as changing the system and making something better, you know, going back to their traditional ways and a system that a lot of people here feel like would work better for this community than what they have now.
And it's shining a light that doesn't always reveal the best of us, but it doesn't matter what color your skin is, as Gene had pointed as well. But getting that transparency, corruption happens in government levels at almost all level. But what one thing you noted, too, was the Northern Cheyenne Ladies with a Purpose. And that purpose, they don't have to do a bunch of speeches, do they? That purpose is to be there and say, don't make me get my stick, right?
Exactly. You know, these are like moms, grandmas, and I think that's a big, from what I've heard from them, it's, you know, kind of for them, like looking at their grandkids, these young kids who are growing up here, it's a big motivator to really make things better,
Emma Jane,
for future generations.
Yep, thank you. Excellent stuff. I appreciate that. Appreciate chatting with you, and we'll be chatting with you down the road, okay? Get back to work, ma'am.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Thanks for joining us for the podcast, and join us weekdays live from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. for more Voices of Montana on great radio stations all across our Treasure State.